Good morning. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. The Drive with Tay and Piper. Kyle Tosk, again, sitting in for Derek Piper. Should we just change the name of this show until Illinois is eliminated? And we hope that, like, for instance, we hope Piper's not here until April. We literally hope that Derek Piper, if we don't physically see Derek Piper until April, it would be the best thing in the world for Illinois fans, right? Because that means they made it to the Final Four, hopefully made it to the championship game. And so I think we should file, like, would it be an injunction or something? Or we should just change the name.
What will happen is I'll have my name on there for one day, and they'll lose Thursday night.
You're right.
I had my one day of fame.
Everybody will then dislike Kyle Tosk, and for the rest of his life, he'll never have a radio show named after him because he'll be gun-shy to do it. He's like, don't name it after me. Whatever you do, don't put my name in it. So, all right, we'll keep it The Drive with Tay and Piper, but Kyle, obviously, a big part. And I did, you know, Derek mentioned that yesterday, that he's had the ability now to follow this team and do what he does. And, of course, I've said it 1,000 times, you coming aboard has allowed me, kind of like with Trevor Valise when he was here, not kind of like, it was just like, you guys have allowed me to see a lot of my son's baseball and basketball. So it is much appreciated, more than you'll ever know. I've always told you, you'll understand it one day when you have children. And then you'll kind of understand, you'll be like, oh, that's why Lon did. Wonder where Lon is now. That's what you'll be like, where's he at? What would he be, like 80 now? I wonder if he's still kicking down in Florida.
Yeah, I'll know exactly where you are. Don't get me wrong. Come on.
You'll be able to come visit. You'll bring your grandkid or your kids down, and I'll meet the little Tosks one day. That'd be kind of fun. I'll be like, hey, your dad had a radio show named after him for a day, and then everybody hated him because we lost. So no Pipes. He will join us again tomorrow around 4:30. We're planning on having Luke Goody on tomorrow as well. Both Luke Goody and Derek Piper, not together, are traveling to Boston today. So a lot of effort to, of course, get out to Boston. So that is stopping some of these chats today. We had thought about having Luke on today, but with him in the air. So we'll have Luke Goody on at some point tomorrow, Derek Piper at some point tomorrow, and maybe Sean Harrington at some point tomorrow. So we're going to be pretty busy. Plus, you and I are just going to be sitting back eating ribs and barbecue all day because Mr. Onstott is bringing the trailer, and he is going to be making up a lot of barbecue specials for Kyle and I and some others here in the radio station. I know he's going to – Diane, will he be on in the morning with you guys tomorrow with the meat or no? That'll just be on our show? Yeah. Okay.
He's pulling up
early. 70-foot rig. Okay. All right. So the entire town of Philo is going to walk down and want to purchase ribs, and he's going to be like, no, this is for Lon and Kyle, and that's it. So, yeah, so we've got a really jam-packed show tomorrow getting you ready for Illinois and Iowa State on Thursday. That game, of course, late at night, like between 9 and 9:30 or so when tip-off will occur then. Again, a programming note, we will not be on Thursday due to the St. Louis Cardinals, who basically will play with 8 guys. They don't have enough outfielders anymore, so it's going to be like a high school team that didn't have enough guys come out, or one guy got injured, or one guy didn't make the grades, and now they have an outfield of 2 guys. That's what it's going to be like for the Cardinals. They're going to have like Jordan Walker and Victor Scott start in the outfield. That's it. They're just going to have 2 guys start against the Dodgers and a full infield, and we'll see what happens on Thursday.
Is this the least excited you've been for opening day in like 25 years?
There's no doubt.
Pairing it with the fact that Illinois plays a Sweet 16 game the same night.
I'm glad that you said that, because I don't want people to think I'm some fair weather. I always get excited about Cardinals baseball. In fact, last season was the first time in my life I hadn't been down to a game. And I'm already planning an early trip in April for Andrew's birthday. We're going to go down and catch a game on a weekend. And then there's another weekend of games later in April that I think I'm going to try to get down to Busch Stadium. I was mad at myself, even as bad as the Cardinals were last year, I was mad at myself for not attending at least a game. I've always attended at least a game, and normally a handful of games. So I was mad at myself. I'm going to make it up to the Cardinals a little bit and go down and check out some maybe afternoon Saturday games this year when it's possible. But yeah, I was between the between Illinois advancing and then the fact that you have three of your four outfielders hurt right now. Lars Nootbaar's hurt, Tommy Edmonds hurt, and then Dylan Carlson ran into Jordan Walker. It's a wonder Walker's healthy. I mean, you had a chance with the collision yesterday to lose all four of your outfielders before the opening pitch of the season. I'm sorry, I laugh. It's terrible that these guys are getting injured, but of course, Tommy Edman was injured before spring training even started, so you can't blame spring training on that. But then Lars Nootbaar like dove for a ball into the wall and got hurt. He broke ribs. And then last night, or yesterday, Dylan Carlson had to brace himself after running into Jordan Walker, essentially, or Walker ran into him. He had to brace himself and injured his left wrist. And, of course, he's a lefty. It's like the AC joint is injured. Is that your shoulder or wrist? I think that'd be a shoulder.
Shoulder, yeah.
So he injured his shoulder. So now Dylan Carlson is injured. We don't know how long, unless that came out recently, that he's going on the injured reserve. But essentially, three of your projected four outfielders are out for the Cardinals. So Victor Scott, who actually came to the spring training, the Cardinals caravan here in Champaign that SJ Broadcasting hosted, Victor Scott will now be in the lineup. And, of course, there's the Michael Ciani, who is a center fielder from the they got from the Cincinnati Reds, who's really, honestly, a really good defensive center fielder, will also be playing. So it looks like you'll have Walker, Ciani, and Scott as your opening day outfield going up against those L.A. Dodgers out at Chavez Ravine. So that's what it is. But, yeah, the other thing that's occurring that night, which is pretty cool, is Illinois playing in a Sweet 16 game against Iowa State. And I know you and I want to get to some thoughts on Iowa State and what we think of that team. Now, one thing did occur today, and that was the University of Illinois announced the Fighting Illini Athletics will host a doubleheader basketball watch party at State Farm Center on Thursday as the women's and men's basketball teams play postseason games. The gates will open at 6. The admission is free. And, Kyle, if you're one of the first 350 fans, you get a free hot dog. So just keep that in mind. That's courtesy of Illinois Student Affairs. They'll also have Coca-Cola on hand, and then later they've got alcohol as well. The concessions will open with some Twisted Tea, Icon beer, some Bud Light. So fans, if you're wanting to go, you should enter the West Main Gate at State Farm Center. Parking will be free in the Northwest and Southwest lots. I'll let you do the math or the mapping of that in your head, but the Northwest and Southwest lots they're where you can park. And the activities, you can get in at 6. And, of course, the women's game starts at 6:30. The men should start around 9:10 is what we're projecting between then and 9:30. So any thoughts of you going to the State Farm Center to take part in that? Or is that
I'm still deciding what I want to do to watch this game.
Is that
I might go home and watch it with my big.
Yeah.
I got a lot of Illini family back at home, so that's under consideration as well.
You should.
If I'm around here, I might head over to State Farm.
I believe I have Jason and Corey teed up for Friday in case you're off. So just an FYI, you do not have to hang around here. I would like it if you went and watched it with your dad. You know your dad would love it if you went and watched it with him, especially if they were able to beat Iowa State and get to that Elite Eight game where they would probably face UConn. Come on, San Diego State. But is something that that you can look forward to at State Farm Center if you're interested in doing that. So so go ahead and take advantage of that, of course, on Thursday, and that's at the State Farm Center. But, yeah, it would be interesting to see if they have a good crowd for that. I'm one of those that for a 9:30 game, I am going to be at home for that one, ready probably to hit the hay after that thing ends on Thursday night. But we will look forward and look ahead to Iowa State and see what we can find out about that team, who we know is number one in the KenPom defensive efficiency category. So we know that they can play a lot of defense. We know that that's what they hang their hat on. They don't score a ton of points, obviously, whereas Illinois does. And Iowa State likes to trap That is another thing that they enjoy doing. So Brad Underwood, the last couple of days, has been busy. I've seen him on every, like, small person podcast up to the Big Ten Network. I got on YouTube today, and it was, like, 58 interviews with Brad Underwood with people I've never even heard of. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. Who's this guy? This is like, hey, I'm Tom Smith from Brooklyn, New York, and I just wanted to see if I could get Coach on for 10 minutes on my daily podcast. Sure, let's do it. So we're going to play you the snippet from the Big Ten Network later with Brad Underwood as he joined the Big Ten Network gang and had some discussion on his squad, et cetera. All right, Iowa State, Kyle, I know the basics. They play really good defense. They love to trap. And they want you to work. They don't want you getting in the middle of their defense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they play a no-middle defense.
Okay. They like to force you to the baseline. They like to force you out on the wing to where you're taking long-distance threes or you're getting yourself trapped in the corner. And, of course, we always say the baseline, the out-of-bounds line, if you will, is like a sixth defender. You're taught that as you come up through basketball and grade school and such, that you can use that line as another defender to try to trap someone. So that is essentially what they will do. Now, the scary part there, and this is where I'm going to leave it with you, we've talked all year about, and especially coming into the year, what is this team going to look like without a true point guard? Well, it has kind of morphed into it's fine because Marcus Damask has taken over that role. He's played the booty ball. He's done a lot of things. Now, he did have a propensity to have turnovers this year. There were games, especially later in the season, where he would turn the ball over four or five different times, and it got to be frustrating where he was dribbling too much, right? You've heard your coach say that as well. Stop dribbling, pass the ball, or keep the ball moving, and it seemed like the ball would stick sometimes with Damask. So while we don't worry necessarily about the point guard spot anymore, Kyle, do you worry about that spot going up against an Iowa State team that is so hell-bent on essentially making life, you know what, for a point guard?
I am a little more concerned when you talk about a team who turns you over so much. I mean, it's an Iowa State team second in the country in turnover rate forced defensively. Illinois really hasn't gone up against that type of defense, and you honestly the most comparable scheme defense wise that they played was that game against Penn State, in which they did turn it over quite a bit and it led to their downfall, and obviously a game that's probably the least memorable from this season for Illini fans. So I think
you could say that about a lot of Penn State games in the past few years, you know.
Definitely 2 years ago. I don't even did we play Penn State 2 years
like
ago?
There was the year we scored like what 30 points or something.
No, the 38-33 game in 2010.
There's been a lot of unmemorable or non-memorable games against Penn State, that is for sure. So I'm glad I don't appreciate you even bringing them up, to be honest with you.
I do get a little bit concerned about it when you talk about not really having that true point guard. Illinois is not a team that's really turned it over a ton this year, even without it. But Iowa State's really going to force all five guys on the floor to handle the ball and to make good decisions, especially when you talk about Marcus Damask, who Illinois is going to try to get into his booty ball actions, and Iowa State's going to aggressively trap him, try to force him baseline, try to turn him over. And I am encouraged about what I've seen from Damask here lately as a passer and as a decision maker, because teams have, I mean, for the last 2 months, teams have thrown multiple guys at him and teams have tried to get him out of his rhythm, and he's really come a long way in terms of facilitating and impacting the game without maybe getting his shots. But I think it's definitely a concern, and one that Illinois is going to need to take care of the ball here, not let Iowa State force 18 turnovers on them, because honestly, that's going to be Iowa State's easiest offense in this game, and that's how they can really gain a lead on you, is if they're getting runouts and they're getting transition buckets, because otherwise I think they're going to have a tougher time keeping up with you offensively. But if you hand them free possessions and live ball turnovers, I think that's their biggest path to keeping up on the offensive end with you.
You've always heard the idea that to beat a zone, whether it be a press or just a half court, is to get the ball in the middle. And then it opens up so many options. The zone has to collapse. That opens up passing lanes. That opens up, you know, obviously driving lanes. And you sense that with this team. And, of course, as you mentioned, it's a no-middle defense. They don't want the ball in the middle. Who on this Illinois team can you see exploiting that a little bit? I know against Syracuse last year, Coleman Hawkins was great, at getting the ball in the middle of the lane. Almost, you know, you look at their defense, it's not necessarily a zone, but it kind of has that principle sometimes where all of a sudden you got the five guys around almost like in a matchup zone, and they're just salivating to trap you. They don't care who it is, but they just cannot wait for somebody to get the ball in a bad spot, and then they're going to trap you and put a lot of pressure on you, and they're really good about reading the next pass. So they're able to recover to the next pass so that that guy doesn't have a wide open three, and then the next pass, they recover to that to where that guy doesn't have a wide open three. So they do a good job of the trap and recover, and that's something that Illinois is going to have to take advantage of somehow. Now, you can say that, you know, surely there's a way to beat that. Well, a lot of teams haven't. And it'll be interesting with the good news, I guess, although playing UConn, if you play UConn on a 2-day, that's not going to be exactly fun either to try to prepare for that squad in 1 day. But I guess the good news a little bit is that Illinois will have had some time here to prepare for this defense and kind of get their offense going. Now, I think of guys on the outside that can shoot quick. I think a Terrence Shannon obviously can get the ball up quick. Luke Goody is a guy that can do that. Gary A takes a little bit of time when he shoots. Coleman can snap it off quick.
I think Coleman is going to be really vital in this matchup, especially when you look at Iowa State's bigs who are more of those bruising types that like to play down on the low block a little bit more.
And they don't score much.
And they don't score much. They're focused more on beating you up inside and providing some protection in there. And so if Coleman can play out on the perimeter in Illinois' five-out lineup and make shots, which I think he's going to get plenty of open shots, pulling those big guys away, and also just off of, you know, skip passes and rotation off of those traps when Damask has it or when Terrence Shannon's driving, I think Coleman's going to get a lot of shots, especially from three. And he's going to be key because if he can come out and make some of those, I think that's going to be a guy that can really kind of swing this matchup and where Illinois might have an advantage.
It's weird that you can lay in bed and think about these things, but last night I was thinking of this. I think Coleman Hawkins could be the biggest key to this weekend. And I'm talking not only against Iowa State, but also against UConn. And the big boy for UConn, I never can remember his name.
Donovan Klingon.
Klingon, who is 7'2". He's got the ability to pressure you defensively. He can get out. But yet Coleman Hawkins still is a guy that could take advantage of him in terms of bringing him way out from the basket.
And that's a key, too, because he's probably the best rim protector in the country.
Yep.
And for a guy in Terrence Shannon who does his work around the basket, you want to minimize that big 7'2 wingspan in there trying to deter his shots.
And that's what I was thinking when I thought to myself, and believe me, I'm not by any means putting the horse before the cart before the horse. I'm not saying that Illinois is automatically through Iowa State, but I think what you just spelled out against Iowa State is a guy like Coleman Hawkins being able to take advantage of their bigs who don't really want to defend on the perimeter, and the idea that he can maybe get to that middle and make things happen. And then, of course, against UConn, being able to bring the big boy out would be huge for Illinois. So
now, I will say, the one other thing you have to consider is that probably means you don't play Ty Rogers in that matchup.
Yeah, right.
Because I think ultimately what we've seen here is that if Ty is going to be on the floor, which is Illinois' starting lineup, then bigs are going to hide on him and just kind of roam the paint, and Coleman turns more into a wing.
Isn't it funny how you kind of want to move on to UConn and start figuring out how you would guard them? Who's checking Cam Spencer, the kid from Rutgers, who's, you know, doing this, but yet you can't because you still have an Iowa State team that you have to deal with. You look at Iowa State, they have six guys, 6 guys that average 22 minutes or more for them, and that is kind of how they play it. They're leading minute guy is 31, and a lot of teams' number one minute guy is usually 34 or 35, but that is it Tamin Lipsy?
Tamin
Lipsy, okay. So he leads him in assists at 5 a game. He leads him in steals as well. Trey King, their leading rebounder, at 5, and Keyshawn Gilbert leads him in points at 14 a game. When you look at their stats, it's boring. But what makes sometimes a team so good is when you have so many different weapons that you can't really just shut down, let's say, Terrence Shannon. Look at Illinois. If you shut down Shannon, well, Illinois would be in trouble if he completely gets shut down. But Marcus Dumas can step up. Coleman Hawkins can step up. Guerrier's had games. Luke Goody has come in and had games. Justin Harmon has had games. It looks like for Iowa State, it's just guys that are all kind of right around that 10 to 13 point range. Nobody really busts one out for 20. So it's one of those games where you don't feel like Gilbert or Lipsy is going to just go off for a 20 to 25 point game. And all their rebounding, everybody does the rebounding. There's not one guy that is like seven or let's say four or five rebounds average ahead of any other person. And then assist-wise, you got Lipsy and Gilbert both average about five and four assists. It's just a really good team, Kyle, and that not only on defense, which we've talked about and can learn more as we go, but offensively, when you look at it, it's easy to lull yourself into a, well, this team can't score with Illinois. There's no way that they can maintain what Illinois can maintain. And I think we would all agree with that. Iowa State is not built to score with Illinois, but certainly if their defense does what it has done all year, then their ability to spread the wealth essentially on offense is what really makes it tough against the Iowa State Cyclones.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's a ton of balance here. Although I do think that they kind of have a big three offensively for the most part. When you look at Taman Lipsy, Keyshawn Gilbert, and then their freshman Milan Momcilovic.
Yeah.
I learned how to say that by listening to...
Momcilovic?
Momcilovic, I believe, is correct. I listened to someone else say it. On a podcast, and that's how I learned how to pronounce it.
I just assumed it was mom.
Yeah.
But they say it like the Brits say it, mum.
I think. That's how I heard someone else say it. So don't quote me on that, but that's how I'm going to pronounce it. But anyway, I think they have a lot of balance, but I think those three guys are kind of their go-to offensive weapons. I think they all kind of do some different things too. Lipsy Moore, the true point guard, a guy who can break down a defense a little bit, facilitate. Keyshawn Gilbert's probably their best athlete, a guy who does a lot of his damage around the rim. He's going to try to get downhill, and he's not as much of a shooter. He'll shoot a little bit, but he wants to really get inside and drive. And Momcilovic is probably their best pro prospect. He's got a lot of length. He's more of that wing type who can play kind of at all three levels. So there's balance for sure. And it is a team that I think, like you said, if the game is played at their pace and kind of their style, I think that they have proven that they have enough balance there that they can score enough and they can complement their defense enough with the guys that they have. But I think Illinois kind of you've got a group here where if Illinois can find the right matchups for these guys and find a way to slow down those three, I think – you could see some of, like we saw that 6-minute scoring drought they had against Washington State.
Right.
I think that's going to be key for Illinois, is to really hold them down for stretches of the game for Illinois to try to pull away and get some separation.
I don't remember if it was Hans or who we used to make fun of that he would always say, well, we got to score first when it came to football. Now that was football. Got to get a lead. It would be nice for Illinois to maintain a lead in this thing and kind of make Iowa State get out of what they like to do. But they're going to be very loyal to what they do for the majority of the game.
Right.
You would have to get up by 15 to 18 points for them to really say, all right, we got to do something different. It's not working. And I just don't see Illinois getting up to that point. But if you can maintain like a 6 to 8 point lead, maybe later in the game they have to feel uncomfortable and get kind of out of what they like to do and hopefully force shots. Curtis Jones actually is their leading three-point getter at 60. He's got 69 on the year. Momcilovic has 61. Lipsy 44. Gilbert 35. So even there shows you how balanced they are when it comes to everything they do on offense. It is interesting when I said I thought Coleman Hawkins could be the key to this weekend. Is there anybody else in your mind? I mean, obviously Marcus Shannon. You could kind of put them together. Would you agree with that in terms of what Coleman is going to be able to hopefully expose with Iowa State and maybe UConn if you get that far? I'd love to just not say one word about San Diego State and then all of a sudden have to face them.
It'd be a break for sure.
It would be a huge break.
I think that has a low likelihood of happening.
Mm-hmm. Did you see Hurley was... what is it, Danny?
Yeah, everyone's against UConn. Yes. The committee stacking the whole tournament against them.
Which I kind of agree. They got into the toughest bracket when they're the one seed.
At the same time, they've gotten to play at Brooklyn and now Boston.
Yeah.
So, I mean. It,
but he wasn't happy with the early game. And, yeah, he's just kind of really trying to make this, it's the universe against us.
I mean, you got to give him credit. He's finding a way to make his team think that the best team in the country that has rightfully been called the best team in the country is getting slighted.
Yeah.
And that might be giving them the edge they need to win the whole thing.
Right.
It's great coaching, even though you roll your eyes at it.
Totally agree. But you do agree, though, with Coleman in terms of that, of that notion?
Yes. I think Coleman's going to be huge because when he has been aggressive on offense and when he has really been that true number three complementary piece to what Shannon and Damask are bringing offensively, that's when Illinois has been at their best. And I think there's going to be so much focus placed on stopping Shannon and stopping Damask that Coleman Hawkins is going to have an opportunity to make a big impact on offense. And I think both of these theoretical matchups are going to be ones where he is really kind of that swing piece in the matchup where he's so versatile and he's so unique in what he's able to do that these opposing bigs are going to be taken out of their comfort zone a little bit, and Iowa State's kind of going to need to find a way to adjust to that. And his three-point shooting, I think, is going to be massive, especially in this particular game against Iowa State, a team who gives up a lot of threes. And like we mentioned with the matchup with their bigs, I think Coleman's probably going to get 7, 8, 9 open looks from three.
Totally.
And if he can make 4 or 5 of those, that might be the difference in the game.
That'd be huge. All right, I want to go through the U of I Line and Lake text line. We have a few texts coming in today. We'll get a break. We'll come back. We'll hear what Brad Underwood had to say. Who am I trying to think of that is the main guy for Big Ten Network?
Dave Revson.
Thank you, Dave Revson, who grew up in Urbana. So, sorry, Dave. Good guy. He's been on our show before, friend of the program. So, apologies to Dave Revson. I'm just old now, and I forgot his name. So, Matt said early we were talking about maybe not having Piper as part of the name on the show anymore because we hope we don't see him for 3 weeks. But Matt still said change the name to Piper and Kyle. Matt, he did put the smiley, what do you call those, emoji, the laughing emoji. Yeah, that's fine. Do you need your name first, though? Kyle and Pipes?
I
kind of like that.
Yeah.
Kyle and Pipes. I'll do the voiceover.
Well, yeah, well, again, let's not curse this run that we're on here.
Right.
I don't think by getting my name on there.
Like, I can't wait to be the full, like, I want to be Matt Carpenter, where I just come in and fill in on occasion. On the
Kyle and Pipes show. Once a week, you pinch hit.
And I'd complain about it. I'd get here and I'd be like, man, I had to work today and this stinks. And Maxwell said Lon's trying to turn Kyle into the Steve Bartman of Illinois basketball by changing the name, and then Illinois immediately loses. We talked a little Cardinals baseball, the fact that half their roster's hurt and they're going to start the season with two guys in the outfield. Scott said apathy is set in for Cards fans, not wasting money to go to St. Louis until they really try to win playoff games again. I truly didn't. Late in the season, I would have told you I'm not going to watch that game. They're horrible, right? But that wasn't the reason I didn't get down there. I was just so busy with Andrew's stuff that I never really had a chance to get down to a game, and I am kind of frustrated and kind of ashamed of myself, seriously, for not trying to get down there and get that done. So I do want to get to a couple of Cardinals games this year. Anthony, back to Illinois basketball. Live ball turnovers leading to runouts is the killer. How come every time I start to read that, it changes? Marcus seems to have those at inopportune times. And I agree with that. And we touched on that, that Marcus Damask, sometimes you find him. And listen, it's all about the booty ball. When you're booty balling people, that's when you're dribbling, because you're dribbling them down essentially to a spot on the court then where you're comfortable at getting a shot and or a layup. But that has been an issue, and if Marcus doesn't watch out, he's going to be double teamed. Excuse me, and the ball could be taken away. So that is something that you'll have to watch for and look out for as this game goes along. Wes says he's heard it Mumchilovich.
That could be right.
Okay. I think Luke Goody just calls him mama's boy. I think he just, from the tip, every time he touches it, Goody's on the sideline, and then when he's in the game, he's like, what's up, mama's boy? What's up, mama's boy? That's what he does. Kyler, I think one thing that benefits us with their style of trapping and getting into rotations, we should be able to really dominate on the offensive glass. That's a good call.
Yes, and I think the one other thing to mention in this matchup, and it's an important thing, is the two weaknesses of this Iowa State defense, and that really comes with any team who's really aggressive like they are. They're not great on the defensive glass, and they foul a lot.
Yes.
And that, I think, will be a huge key for Illinois, is if they can get on the offensive glass and if they can offensive rebound, Ty Rogers, Quincy Guerrier, Coleman Hawkins can offensive rebound and get some second chances, I think that'll be huge. And then also if Illinois can really attack and try to draw fouls and get some of those guys in foul trouble, I think that those are the two paths to success offensively for Illinois, and they do align with two of Illinois' biggest strengths. So I think it could come to play.
That's a great point, and I want to hear that again tomorrow because I like that. And I think Illinois, we know, can do damage on the glass. So that's something that Brad Underwood has kind of really, since he got into coaching. I know his Stephen F. Austin teams were always really good on the glass. I think the one year he was at Oklahoma State, they seemed to be solid on the glass. And most of the years he's been at Illinois, the Illini have been the better rebounding team normally, night in and night out. I paused there while you were talking because I just saw that AJ Storr has sent a message out to Wisconsin fans. It's a long one. It's one of those. But essentially he said, I've decided to engage and experience the NBA draft process all while maintaining my college eligibility. And then at the very end, he says, the memories, lessons, and friendships I've made here, which would be Wisconsin, will forever be part of who I am. Thank you, Badger Nation, for everything. With all my heart, excuse me, AJ Storr. So, let me read through that to you, Kyle, because you're young and maybe you haven't been experienced on Twitter like I have. He's gone. AJ Storr will not be with the Wisconsin Badgers next season.
I would tend to agree with you. All I'll say is that Terrence Shannon and Coleman Hawkins both said thank you, Illini Nation, last year and came back. So in this day and age, I mean, you post the thank you graphic and really anything can still happen.
I just don't sense him in a Wisconsin.
I agree with you in his particular case. I'd be surprised if he plays at Wisconsin.
You're right. That was a good comeback there for that. All right, Brad Underwood met today with the Big – no, it was yesterday, I think, with the Big Ten Network or last night or something. And we're going to hear that. It was a good interview. I was able to catch most of it today. So we'll hear from Brad Underwood next hour. At the bottom of the hour, Brett Bielema had another conversation with the media. So we're going to hear from Brett. Any other – I know that Jacobs, the running back, right? Josh
McCray.
McCray. Josh Jacobs. Was he a running back for, like, the Giants?
Josh Jacobs.
Or no, Raiders.
Raiders, yeah. And he now just signed with the Packers.
Okay, he was the guy that I wanted in fantasy and couldn't get him, and now he haunts me to this day on the radio show where I call Josh McCray Josh Jacobs. I did tell you, and you will attest to this, yesterday, I said, you know what, I would like to hear from McCray. Because Josh...
He's pretty short.
Is it? But he's a guy that came on, like, a warrior his freshman season, and then he's been hurt since. If you can get him running at full tilt along with Caden Fagan, those are two powerful backs. Now, it'd be nice to have that, and hopefully Valentine is that guy that can provide the speed that you need. But
still got Aiden Loffrey as well.
The local kid. So hopefully that – but, man, if you've got two battering rams in Jacobs and Fagan
– you call him
gosh,
Jacobs
dang it,
again.
In McCray and Fagan. See, Josh Jacobs is just haunting me. I'm drafting him number one this year. Not number one overall, unless I have it. In the first round, I'm drafting Josh Jacobs, and I'm going to call him McCray the entire NFL season. All right, let's get to this. Please help me out here. On the go over spring break, bank on your schedule with Busey's mobile app and Money Pass. Two ways Busey makes your banking hassle-free. Through the Money Pass network, easily access surcharge-free ATMs. There's 37,000-plus ATMs nationwide. That includes nearly 3,400 in Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, and Florida. There's no need to sign up and no fee to participate as long as you have a Busey debit card. To take advantage of the savings and locate a MoneyPass ATM near you, look for the MoneyPass logo or visit locations and hours on Busey.com. And of course, if you download the Busey mobile app, You can view balances, transfer funds, pay your bills. You can pay Kyle. You can deposit checks directly from your mobile device. They make it convenient, they save you time, and they make it safe and secure. That's what Busey does. From surcharge-free ATMs to the Busey mobile app and beyond, Busey keeps you connected to your accounts from coast to coast. Visit Busey.com for a complete look at their mobile and online banking services. Busey, member FDIC.
This is Eddie Clare, president of Paul's. Are you looking for a career and not just a job? Paul's is looking for experienced fabricators and millwrights to join our team on both first and second shifts. We have a great benefit package, including 2 weeks of paid vacation from day one, a company bonus, health, vision, dental for you and for your family, a 401k with a match. We also offer tuition reimbursement and on-the-job training programs for less experienced fabricators and millwrights. Let Paul's create big possibilities for you, your career, and your life. Apply online at paulsmachine.com.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
It seems like the cost of everything is on the rise, but Erie Insurance can help make sure your auto insurance premium isn't one of them. Avoid rate increases with Erie Rate Lock. Even if you have a claim, your rates won't go up until you change a car, driver, or address.
Your Erie agent in Champaign is Thomas and Eller's Insurance.
Erie Rate Lock is not available in all states. Other conditions and limitations at ErieInsurance.com. Go to ErieInsurance.com for company licensure and product details.
Don't miss out when Ancient Aliens Live lands in a town near you. The Out of This World Tour continues with 15 new dates announced across the country. Hear from the experts of Ancient Aliens live and in person.
All of you are on this journey with all of us together.
Get your tickets now at AncientAliensLiveTour.com.
Ancient Aliens Live, Project Earth, lands in the Virginia Theater Friday, March 29th. Tickets on sale now at thevirginia.org.
By now, you've all heard the expression, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 for PDR Automotive. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR. But who are they? They, the PDR staff, understand that a name is only as good as the people that represent it. The PDR staff has more than 335 years of combined automotive experience, several employees now on staff for more than 25 years. PDR, more than just a name. Family owned and operated, now celebrating over 50 years in business.
Since Busey Bank first opened our doors in 1868, we have built upon a tradition of close relationships and broad financial capabilities. Our experienced team provides the highest level of personalized service to ensure we accomplish your goals, simplifying your wealth management and business lending needs, and ensuring a legacy for generations. Building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
At ABC Heating and Air, it's our promise to help you always be comfortable. Do you need rescued because you're burning hot? Do you need rescued because your air is shot? Call ABC Heating and Air at 352-5400 and let us rescue you from the heat. ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400. Can't you see you need to call me at ABC? Call ABC Heating and Air. That's ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400.
The average American throws away almost 5 pounds of trash per day, half which ends up in a landfill. At 2 Men in a Junk Truck, when we pick up your unwanted furniture, appliances, trash, and office equipment, we make it a priority to divert those items from your local landfill. 2 Men in a Junk Truck, looking for partners that share our vision of environmental responsibility. If you and your organization can reuse, upcycle, recycle some of these items, we would love to work with you. Contact us at 2menandajunktruck.com. We want to make room for what matters most.
Our big stat is brought to you by Gatorade. Illinois left no doubt this weekend. Two convincing wins, including a 26-point pounding of Duquesne on Saturday night. There was never in doubt, a game in which They never trailed. The 26-point margin, the fourth largest in school history in the NCAA tournament, largest ever in a non-first-round game. And that segues us beautifully into our big interview. As promised, it's the head coach of the Fighting Illini, Brad Underwood, who is with us. Coach, congratulations on a fabulous weekend. What did you like most about the way your team played over those two games?
Well, thanks, Dave. I loved our after our 9-0 start we gave Moorhead. We played pretty good after that. I thought we were really good against Duquesne. We got on them early. We did it in a variety of ways. We did it with our defense and then transition. We did it with Coleman Hawkins stepping out and hitting three threes in a row in pick and pop situations. All in all, I thought it was, Dane Deja was phenomenal. Obviously Marcus with a triple double, but, we kind of took what the defenses gave us and found a way to exploit it.
I know it's not your end goal at all, but we have uttered the fact that Illinois hasn't been to the second weekend since 2005, honestly, more times than I can count, probably since the network launched. What does it mean to you to silence that, to get to the point now where we don't have to think about that anymore?
Yeah, I'm happy for our fans. I'm happy for the program. This program is so good, and it's been so good. It's so important to everybody. We sell out every game. Nobody travels like us. Our fans are fabulous when we travel. It's really quite remarkable that it's been that long. Personally, I'm very, very happy for the program, for our fans, for, our administration. It was going to end sooner or later. My goal was always just keep getting there. And you get there, good things can happen. And we made that happen this past weekend.
I think back to when you took over the program, Brad, it just wasn't in a good spot. I mean, they hadn't made the tournament in 4 years. You kind of started from scratch with a new group, and it took a couple years to get there, a couple lean years. When you think personally about the journey that you've been through with this program to get here, what flashes through your mind?
Yeah, no shortcuts. I think we did it, pre-portal. We built it. We did it with starting from the ground floor. We wanted to make sure our culture was right. We're a development program. It's based on hard work. It's based on guys wanting to come in and work and get better. We saw that development. It started with an Io DeSumo and Andres Felice, a Kofi Coburn, Trent Frazier, DeMonte Williams, a group of guys that I couldn't be happier for them. They've all reached out and they're ecstatic at what they built. And, I don't think there was any shortcuts, and then we've tried to stay very consistent with that whole philosophy since day one.
One of the things that I think is really cool about you as a coach is how much you've adapted. And I would just say that this team, the way you play offensively and the way you play defensively, bears almost no resemblance to when you got there. Yeah. There was a great article in The Athletic yesterday talking about Jay Wright and how he had given you some advice during the course of this year that caused you to alter a little bit of how you're playing this year, mid-year. Like, fill people in on that and kind of your philosophy of being willing to adapt your style, because I do think it's unusual.
Yeah, I don't want to be stubborn. I want to do what's best for the players that we have. And sometimes it requires change. And, we were turning the ball over. We knew we had a really good player in Marcus Demosque who, was kind of floundering about 8-9 points a game. And we needed to open the court with Terrence a little more and do some different things. And we found a way. And I mean, I say it all the time, we start five power forwards. And we needed to find a way to make that work. And lo and behold, we got the number one offense in the country. It's just putting guys in positions to I say one, we might be two, one or
no,
two.
No, you're one. You're number one. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And it's, but it's just finding guys, finding a way to play that suits the personnel you have. And me kind of trying to figure that out and get out of my own way sometimes and not overcomplicate things.
You and I were talking during the Big Ten tournament. You came over to our desk in between games, and we were just chatting really quickly. And you said something to me. You said, I'm having a great time coaching this team. Like, this is such a fun group to be around. And I think we saw evidence of it the other night when you went into the locker room with the squirt gun and you know, bombarded the guys. Give me a sense of why. Like, what's so much fun about this group aside from the obvious that you're winning?
Yeah, and it doesn't have it's not because we're winning that I'm having fun. It's because of who these guys are, and they play the right way. They play for the joy of the game in a time where it's NIL this and this, and our guys are doing, you know, they're all getting NIL, and that's great, and I'm for that. But they play for the passion and the love of the game, and it hurts them when we lose. They work so hard and they stand for all the right things and they genuinely love each other. I mean, we don't have any bickering. We don't have any team stuff. They just have a great time together. And I've always been a guy that I think you have to reward winning. You have to acknowledge it. It's really, really hard to do. And so we've always done that here. You know, after every game, I celebrate winning. The other night, it was just nice to take the super soaker and give a little back to them because of all the water I've received over the years. So we had a little fun with that.
I have noticed there's been a trend of drenched coaches. So the drenched players, as you say, it's a little bit of a role reversal. You were talking about having the number one offense in the country, which you do. Andy and I were discussing your matchup with Iowa State a little bit earlier. I mean, it literally is the number one offense against the number one defense. You think about it, we're 360-plus teams in Division I college basketball to get that matchup. I mean, what are the odds for that? I know you started studying Iowa State at least a little bit. Give us some insight into what makes them so good defensively.
Well, TJ does an unbelievable job, and the reason they're good is they play really, really hard. They'll play as hard as any team in the country. But they're very, very sound in their scheme. They know exactly what TJ wants them to do, and then they do it at a very, very high rate. And they're aggressive, they're handsy, they're very physical. You know, they're running through passing lanes, taking stuff away. They're tenacious. They're not an overly deep team. They play seven or eight guys, but boy, they're committed to it. And TJ's got them playing very hard.
Well, they're playing really well, but you're playing really well also. I won't ask you about the rest of the region with UConn and San Diego State other than to say, no favors were done. But, I mean, look, that's the NCAA tournament this year, right? And we've had most of the favorites win here. So you know it's going to be a tough road to get to Phoenix.
Yeah, I mean, you've got it the other side. You've got a preview of the, you know, Final Four last year in the championship game. And obviously everybody's number one in UConn, deservedly so. But that's the beauty of this tournament. You know, you're going to have to win six games against really good opponents and winning's really hard. And every game you have to go out and be your best. And it's nice to know we're playing well. And we're playing our best and we're healthy. So let's throw it up and see where it falls.
Cannot wait to watch you guys coming up later this week. I hope the next time we talk, it's in Phoenix, Brad. That would be awesome.
Day, that'd make my day. I hope you're right. Go Big Ten.
All right, man. Great to talk to you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That is Brad Underwood. The Illinois women's team also kept their season alive over the weekend. Adalia McKenzie, a career-high 28. They top Stony Brook in the second round of the WBIT. They will battle Tulsa Thursday in the quarterfinals.
There you go. The Illini women, Shauna Greene, of course, now over 500 as a coach. And will it finish? Will finish at least 500 or better for a second straight season. Of course, a really good year last year. So hopefully that will continue to go in the right direction. Maybe a little bit of a hiccup this season, but certainly this is a team that's kind of taken advantage of that WNIT and gotten things done. I think Ohio State's still going in the NIT, the men's NIT.
That's correct.
Here's another thing I thought about today, and I hope that I'm absolutely never in this spot to where we have to talk about it on the show. But if Illinois ever was in that position again, the men, where they had to make a decision, because I know a lot of people took a lot of grief this season about not playing in the NIT. Who was it that went off? Was that Tom Crean?
Yeah, it was.
That went off kind of because Indiana decided not to play in the NIT. And I thought to myself, well, it's easy to rip Indiana and teams that say no to the NIT. But then you say, okay, well, hold on a second. Put it into my realm. Would I be excited? Now, listen, if SIU didn't make the NCAA tournament, then I do want them to play in the NIT. I think that's fun. I feel like that's, you know, hell, they won it back in 67 when it was the bigger tournament than the NCAA, basically. But now it's not. It's not even close. So I would love that with the Salukis. And by the way, somebody asked me, oh, Nick, are you hearing anything on the SIU coaching front? I'm not. The only rumors that keep flying around is that a plane from Lexington, Kentucky into Marion, excuse me, airport has happened a couple of times. So maybe Chin, maybe Orlando wanting to get back in the coaching front.
Kentucky's buying out Coach Cal and he's going to coach the Salukis.
Let's go. Let's see what we got. Put us into absolute trouble with the NCAA after you get to the tournament about three straight years. And then I'm fine with whatever happened. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. Yeah, I don't think it would be Cal, but and listen, I'm guessing Brian Mullins didn't make as much as Chin Coleman. And Brian made a decent amount, I guess, on that. I did see today a kind of a cool story.
Brian Mullins coaching with Chris Holtman, yes, at DePaul now.
Yeah, so he didn't go up in salary, but I'm sure he's getting a decent salary at DePaul. I saw something today that Indiana State last year had an NIL number of. Well, you want to guess? Now, this is Indiana State, a team that a lot of people thought should make the NCAA tournament. Had Rob, what is it, Avila or Avila or whatever it is, the big guy that's kind of, I was hoping would be kind of the storyline for a lot of NCAA stuff, but it didn't happen. So what would you say?
Meaning just like their total NIL budget as a program, basically?
For basketball.
I'll say they had like 200K or something.
I think it was 30,000.
Wow.
So what I read today is that Indiana State has to get their NIL number up to 90,000 to keep a lot of the guys from last season.
Makes sense.
But isn't that crazy? Like 30? That can't be right.
I would be shocked. But
I mean, you would think it would be more than
that. That's what a lot of these mid-major programs are dealing with.
Yeah?
You got high-major teams that have budgets pushing a million into the millions. Right. There's plenty that are above seven figures, and so it's just so hard to compete. And it's even like for some of those guys that just came off the year that they had, you look at a Robbie Avila who's got one more year left. Why would 90,000 do it? Like, right, he could probably get 500,000 from somebody the way things have gone. So
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, it's just a tough spot for a lot of those schools to be in.
I agree. And guys like Damask and Lance Jones and Rink Mass certainly proved to a lot of people that going from the Valley to the Big Ten can work. So we'll see. We'll see what happens on that. But, yeah, I had read something today on that, and I'm like, man, that doesn't even make sense. Scott said Indiana State again tonight. So they play tonight again.
Yeah, they play Cincinnati in the NIT.
I know they had a big deal in Terre Haute Sunday. I almost went over. They had kind of a – oh, it's 4 o'clock. I just noticed. Kyle's like giving me the yeah line. They had a big deal in Terre Haute. I thought about going over and just wearing my Saluki gear and being like, hey, I'm rooting for the Sycamores. All right, let's take a break. We'll hear some football stuff next hour. There's a new kickoff being proposed in the NFL. I want your thoughts on it. We'll get to that and more next. It is The Drive.